You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
B squared, double B. Brian Bienemy. Brian Enola East. Brian from the Upper East Side. You pick whatever it is you want to be known as today, but you're in studio. How are you?
Doing just fine.
Hour
I kind of like the multiple nicknames.
The multiple nicknames?
Yeah, just going to keep on rotating them.
Okay. Hour one, our thanks to Jake Madison and Brian Johnson. Coming up, bottom of this hour, Nick Monica, head coach of the Rummel Raiders, as we'll be having a semifinal baseball playoffs on Thursday, the final on Saturday. Catholic taking on Rummel at 4:30 and at 7:30. It is Jordan, the intern, St. Paul's. What are you? The Comets or Slugs or Kitty Cats? What?
No.
What are you?
It's the Wolves.
The Wolves. Wow.
What is yours? The Crusaders?
Crusaders. That's right. Yes. Crusaders.
Wow. What's a Crusader?
Be Crusade.
To do what exactly?
Hey, you never know.
Oh.
It is 2000.
Exactly right.
It's 2019. Hey, what is a Crusader?
Just remember,
day?
When we do anything in the name of God, it could be bad or good. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We have the right. In the name of God. Just remember that.
Why are you so sudden miss today?
In the name of God, I can turn your mic off. See what I just did? I just crusaded. I just crusaded silence of the intern.
Awful. Again, the sudden miss?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I felt I had to represent a little today.
Wow.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Crusader and the Eagle.
That's right. We attack.
Do you know?
Screeching Eagle, Crusaders, tie works.
Why didn't you guys win?
It doesn't always translate. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there is, you got to play the game. Yeah. There it is.
The attack, helpless animals.
There you go. Couple of breaking news, Mr. Brian, that we can chime in here on as well. Coming up at Ryan Fitzgerald. 215, general manager of your Nola Gold. There's a huge, huge game. We've been talking to, of course, the coach, Nate Osborne. You listen when coach talks on Wednesday?
Yeah. I'm all in. I actually want to see one.
Yeah. Well, they got a big one coming up against San Diego on Saturday. It's going to determine, you know, playoff positioning, things of that nature, championship. So
you mean our rugby team can win a championship before the Falcons win the actual championship?
Oh,
I like this.
Wow.
I like this.
Yeah, you never miss an opportunity to remind Atlanta
that they suck.
Speaking of, this is actually news when it comes to the NFC South, Brian. Buccaneers Jason Pierre-Paul could reportedly miss the 2019 season due to a neck fracture after a car accident. Pierre-Paul may need neck surgery, which could end his 2019 season before it ever begins. CBSSports.com, number one story on its website. He sustained the injury in a single vehicle crash last week, and it looks like it's worse than previously assumed. ESPN's Adam Schefter also reporting that he may need that surgery. He's going to visit a neck specialist this week, get their opinions to see if there's hope to save the season. But the belief is that he likely will have surgery for this fractured neck, and it's going to happen. Jenna Lane, ESPN there, Mike Triplett, best way to kind of describe it. She was told last week by a source very close to JPP that he was okay. This is a devastating blow to a Bucs defense that didn't prioritize defensive linemen in the draft, largely because they were counting on Pierre-Paul. How big is this if Jason Pierre-Paul misses the season?
It's even bigger than that. First and foremost, no matter if he's slightly injured or if he's, you know, not even, you know, 3/4 of the way hurt, whatever it may be, you don't want that guy with a neck injury colliding on an everyday, every game basis, week in and week out in the NFL.
You have to think of your health.
Yeah. If I'm the Bucs, no matter what happens, I sit him. What makes it even worse is the idea that they still haven't resolved the Gerald McCoy issue, and he's been sitting out of all organized team activities and voluntary camps so far. So now you have Jason Pierre-Paul possibly missing the season. If Gerald McCoy decides to finally be a diva, although he hasn't shown that in his career, or they do something with McCoy, now you're missing McCoy and JPP. That defensive line is going to be absolutely wrecked. And the most importantly, you have nobody on offense that you can count to right now except for a 260-pound Jameis Winston to say he's going to take up and put a lot of scoring on his shoulders. He's only going to make more mistakes because that's more pressure. The Bucs are in trouble, even though nobody kind of had them coming out of the cellar this year. That's even worse. Again, with the first pick in the NFL draft for 2020, Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Tua Tagovailoa. It's going to happen.
You called this the day the schedules were released.
That is correct.
And you said it was going to be an issue for the Buccaneers so long playing home games.
I believe it's 7 out of 8 games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. On the road, there's one in London, if you want to call that a home game. But it's a ton when you look at it. And it's just so much to really kind of get into from that aspect and point of it. But that is kind of an issue for Tampa Bay. Look, when you look at the NFC South, and we did it last Wednesday where we went and talked to people from their cities. Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They go get Will Greer. I thought that was interesting when we spoke with Chris McClain, and that he said, hey, look, they may use Will Greer as a bargaining chip, negotiation tactic with Cam Newton. It's security, perhaps, for Cam Newton. But what stood out to me was he said he had heard, it was told, they had him higher than Kyler Murray on their draft board. If I'm not agreeing or disagreeing that that's what it would be.
Correct.
My point is, if the brass felt that way, they don't see him as a guy that's going to be on a clipboard. Am I wrong on that?
That's their future starter. There's no ifs, ands, or maybes.
Are you surprised by that, though?
I am
not.
Cam
Newton's not old.
I'm not. Because Cam Newton is also injured. And there's no telling he could possibly be as bad as Andrew Luck if all the reports are correct. So I don't see a situation at all in which Cam Newton can come back and say, you know what, here I am, I'm the starter, you're going to pay me another $100 million, and the guys have drafted Will Greer and had him that high. They're not bringing in Will Greer just to sit the bench. They want that guy to eventually take over, and he probably fits the style they want to play more often than not. You surround him with all of these weapons on the outside and with a Christian McCaffrey, and you rebuild that defense, which needs an overhaul at this point, because Luke Kuechly has about maybe 1 to 2 years left. I think at this point the Carolina Panthers are trying to keep an eye on the future, and Cam Newton is not a part of that.
Obviously, you covered the NFC South with us during the season. So Will Greer was their pick there. Brian Burns, outside linebacker, made a lot of sense. Thomas Davis no longer there. But also, you're looking at that line. Were you surprised last Wednesday, Atlanta, which we'll get into, and Carolina, though? Both of those teams are changing to a 3-4 look on defense.
I'm more surprised that Atlanta's changing to a 3-4 look, because Dan Quinn comes from the Seattle where they play the cover two, that zone scheme, and, you know, try to just let their guys up front apply pressure while they play coverage on the back end. I don't understand why they're changing to a 3-4. Carolina makes a little bit more sense. They have the personnel that can kind of actually do it, and you might extend Luke Kuechly longer if you can get those big guys to kind of, you know, stay off of Luke Kuechly instead of getting their hands on him. And you might cut down on the concussions and stuff that he's had, but he's still no spring chicken. He's got about a year or two left because of the concussions and the other injuries that he suffered. So it doesn't surprise me that Carolina will go 3-4. It does surprise me Atlanta would make that change, especially now. You don't even have the personnel to make that change.
Well, and again, you almost kind of take away what Deion Jones does best, and that's being in the middle of the field there. Where are you going to put him? I mean, I guess I understand there's two inside linebackers, but
still not doesn't work his best.
Right. Look, it is what it is. They went offensive guard, offensive tackle in the first two picks of the first round there. Again, not sexy. We saw the videos of the fans going, who and what?
Right.
I get it. Look, you to this day live in infamy. You're the guy that said Ryan Ramczyk, great pick. You stood up and you're applauded. Me and Marlon Favorite went,
Yeah, we
didn't get it.
Y'all just didn't like
it. But we didn't. That said, look, you saw the Saints do it. The Panthers did it as well. And you saw that really kind of be the theme in round one. Lots of teams getting help on the offensive line. They went offensive line the first two picks, the Falcons.
Indeed. And I think they have to because, of course, Matt Ryan is not a mobile guy. You're not going to get him out of the pocket very much. And you have to protect him. Their offensive line was decimated over the past couple of years. You look at the year in which they went to the Super Bowl, the offensive line was intact, didn't miss a single game. And played together the past couple of years. They've been losing guys to retirement and for guys who just can't play anymore and guys to injury. So I think they had to go offensive line and kind of rebuild that. But you still don't have the running game to back it up. They lost one of their running backs. They lost Coleman. He's gone now. And they also all they have now is Freeman, who's been known to have a little bit of an injury problem himself. So Atlanta better know what they're doing, because you don't have much speed on the outside. Now you have Ridley, who's going to want the ball more because he's proven that he can be a dependable slot. If you can't get it done this year, I would not surprise me to see Dan Quinn become, you know, get on the hot seat.
You brought up a very interesting dynamic. Julio's been wanting money. They're going back and forth with the deals and the extensions. You saw what he got. Michael Thomas, you know, liked that deal. But to your point, that's an interesting dynamic. When you have a guy that you're paying that much money to, to be that often, you know my saying every time it's Falcon Hate Week.
Yeah.
What do I say? Let him get his 13 catches.
Just go to Julio.
Julio Jones has never beaten the New Orleans Saints.
Never.
I'm trying to think of a single game when you left that game and went, ah, Julio that killed Julio.
No.
Never happened.
I think it's the Michael Jordan rule. Let Julio get his 13 for 162, yeah, but he's not going to get any touchdown because he rarely ever does. And on top of that, is you take away the guys that have killed the New Orleans Saints. Calvin Ridley was the guy that was eating the New Orleans Saints alive in that first game. It wasn't Julio Jones.
I mean, that
and it wasn't Muhammad Sanu.
Last year, that was insane.
I mean, I'm in the stadium while this is happening, and we're all like looking at like, why doesn't anybody stop him?
Yeah.
Well, it just so happens that second half, Dennis Allen said, you know what, Marshawn, follow Ridley all over.
Right.
And Julio still wasn't able to get back in the game after that. Like, you know, as far as getting
going. And to your point, now there's some people out there can go, well, Gus, how did Ridley get so open? Because there was so much attention on Julio Jones.
On Julio.
I hear you, but again, it's been other guys. Now you can say again, that's happened because there's so much attention to them or not. So the sports books have the Saints, okay, at 9 to 10 games. I think 10 is what it was, right?
Yeah.
It was the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Saints. The only and the Rams were 9. I'm sorry, 9.5. And the only team that had 10 were the Patriots that had that chance to have that as many wins are there. I guess what I'm trying to get at is this. I do think the NFC South comes down once again, as much as I hate to say it. I think it's Saints Falcons. I really do. I mean, look, we love to hate on them. You watch them all the time. You cover the division for us during the season. They're not a bad football team.
No, they're not.
I love to make fun of them. They're not a bad football team. There's talent there. They're 2 years or 3 years removed from the Super Bowl, however long that was. It seemed like yesterday, but I don't remember. You know what I'm getting at? And I think at the end of the day, they do that.
In this situation, I think it's Saints Falcons, yes, but I think the coaching changes along on the Atlanta sideline are going to definitely play a role.
Travis, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got, man?
Yeah, real quick, Gus. I hear you talking about the Falcons. Does Matt Ryan still play quarterback for the Falcons?
Sure is.
All right, well, they can't do anything, period. End of discussion. That guy's awful. I wanted to ask you guys a question. What do you guys? I hear you guys talking about the 3-4 defense.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that you see more either 3-3-5 defense or more 4-2-5 defense in the NFL more than ever. What are the chances of that just being a main defense in the NFL?
Sean Payton, Brian, says it all the time, doesn't he? That you have base packages, but he says for the most part, you're in sub packages.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to play 3 wide receiver sets now in the NFL, and you could have that with a tight end split.
Yeah, exactly right.
So you're going to need as many DBs. That's why you see the Saints put an emphasis on bringing back P.J. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Patrick Robinson, who should be healthy this time around. And you saw them even bringing some other guys in the draft, even if they were the lower tier guys, because they need as many bodies as they can outside. That's the way the game is going now. It's going to be basically arena football, and you need as many guys that can cover as you can get.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I'm just waiting for someone to actually call it. Let's get out of the whole NFL. You know, the NFL doesn't like to call everything the same way it is in college. In college, they do have 4-2-5 teams and 3-3-5 teams.
Yeah.
And I just figure at some point in time, somebody's going to stop trying to call it a 3-4 or 4-3 and just say, hey, this is a 4-2-5, and this is what we do, and this is how we win games.
You're going to also see, Travis, and I think, Brian, you'd agree with me. Look, there's so much offense being played, the pendulum eventually swings, right? You saw last year, towards the end of the year, defenses started kind of making a name for themselves again, not just the Bears, but the Cowboys, a couple of other teams. Their defense towards the end of the season started kind of picking up a bit. I mean, the Saints' defense has gotten better. So mm-hmm. I'm with you, Travis. At some point in time, defensive coordinators are going to figure out what to do here with all these motions and movement, a lot of crossing routes underneath. They're just trying to put you in mismatches. So I think what you saw in the second round was teams saying, no problem. We're going to get athletic, mobile / safety corners / hybrid guys to where They can stop the run. They're physical enough, but they can cover. And it's to the point, I think, Travis, you're saying, we're just going to flood the secondary with guys that can cover and make tackles and hit. And rather than, you know, kind of being stationary base defense.
Well, Travis, if you remember last year in the playoffs, San Diego tried something like that. They went with seven DBs. It was, you know, so it was four down linemen, seven DBs, and they were all over the field. That's how they beat the Baltimore Ravens. They hadn't used that look. Came out there, Lamar Jackson, to throw the ball on him. He couldn't, and of course, the DBs are fast enough to come to the line of scrimmage and help out against the run. That helped them win, but when they played New England and went seven DBs, well, you're now playing into New England's hands because they're going to throw a lot of underneath stuff. So eventually, you know, the defenses will figure it out, but offense is still going to be ahead of these guys because, of course, on offense, the one advantage you will always have, you know where the ball is going. The defense doesn't. So it's always going to be a cat and mouse game with that.
I absolutely agree. As spoken from someone who played wide receiver and safety, I agree. Just adjusting to that is so much easier on offense than it is on defense. And you, like you said, the Ravens, they kind of got shut out when you ran seven DBs, but it just seems like everybody that's either coming into the league or the future of the quarterback, let's say that's a better way of putting it. When you look at Josh Allen, you look at Baker Mayfield, you look at Kyler Murray, you look at the guys that are even coming up in a tour, the guy at Oregon, Justin, those guys are mobile. Those guys move in the pocket. They can get out. They can get first downs on the ground. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. And before I go, Gus, I just want to, you know, let you guys know that LeBron is the GOAT. You know, just want to say that.
Well, I was waiting for you to ask me our thoughts on Tyronn Lue. I mean, you know, what an excellent job.
Oh,
I mean,
God, getting please, that head coach.
Wait. Tom Thibodeau looks like he's going to be an assistant. I mean, what a really good job. Really good. I mean, because that meshes well. People that have played for Thibodeau thinks that he's too hard on them. Yet he's going to be on your bench. That's going to be fantastic to watch, by the way. Hey, enjoy Kyrie Irving next year.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
I love Travis. Thank you, Travis. Take a quick break. We come back. A couple of more headlines here. Let's talk about what Adam Silver is dealing with. Shorter NBA season, yay or nay? Steve Kerr has given a number of games he thinks it should be. We'll do that next on ESPN New Orleans.
Are you tired of waiting in the big box stores?
Customer needs assistance in appliances. Never mind. Customer went to Rod Superstore.
Spring is in the air at Rod Superstore in Houma. Rod's is now an authorized Blaze barbecue grill and accessory dealer. With the Blaze limited lifetime warranty and a selection of grills, side burners, and flat top burners, along with refrigerators and outdoor island, will make any backyard a getaway. The heat is on, and Rod Superstore has Friedrich and Frigidaire window air conditioners from 5,000 to 36,000 BTUs to keep you cool this summer. Rod Superstore has home appliances by Frigidaire Pro, Sub-Zero, Wolf, KitchenMaid, Whirlpool, and Maytag. Refrigerators and freezers, ranges, and dishwashers, washers, and gas and electric dryers. All this and factory-trained in-house service for their customers only. Why not Rod Superstore? 808 Barrow Street in Houma.
Listen up. Do you have an old mobile home? Get $10,000 for it in trade equity. Trade it. Remove it. Replace it. Houma's best program. Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer house has got to go. Only at Houma's Clayton Homes. Remember, Houma's best trade-in program. Call now, 985-872-2850, or check them out on Facebook. So get rid of that old mobile home and get $10,000 for it. Houma's Clayton Homes.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back. Double B. What's up, Brian? How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man.
New York, huh?
Yeah.
Brian vacation, from the Upper East Side.
Vacation was a little too short, man. Well, I only did it for, 4 days, 3 nights, but it's pretty awesome.
All right. You ready to get into some topics of the NBA?
Let's roll.
All right. Let's do this here. Let's start with shorter NBA season. For some reason, it's really sort of taken a real hold here. You've seen a lot of storylines in the games. James Harden in the series has said, look, his conditioning, they were talking about it yesterday during the game, that he made it an emphasis because he ran out of gas, injuries, things of that nature. I think the season's too long. Look, this year it started early October, mid-October.
Yeah.
In the past, it'd been Halloween was the opening week of the series. Now, they did that to try to avoid a lot of back-to-backs and a lot of different travel, giving different days in between all of that. So 800-998-1003, should there be a shorter NBA season? Adrian Wojnarowski?
I think if that's going to happen, someone's going to give up money.
Yep.
That's going to be the owners, and that's going to be the players. And let me know when somebody in that league wants to give back money and talk about a shorter schedule. I just don't see it happening. I think it's I think financially, everybody's making a lot of money right now. I don't get a sense anybody wants to make less.
So that's Woj. Steve Kerr this morning gave us a number. He says, I think 75 has a nice ring to it. It feels like we play 7 or 8 games a year where our guys are just wiped out. Now, the NBA back in 1966-67, that season, Brian, they settled on the 82-game schedule back then. He says, look, it's not going to be a drastic cut, obviously, because of revenue. But if there were a way to get to 75, I'd be a big proponent. I understand it would mean less revenue. Salaries would come down a little bit. But the quality of play would be better, and the players would be more rested and maybe fewer injuries. What do you say? The NBPA would have to take on that fight, and obviously no one's going to – I mean, when you got guys that barely play are making,
guaranteed money.
Guaranteed money, double digits. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that is a long season.
Yes, it is. I would definitely be in favor of shortening the NBA season. I don't think 75 is short enough, to be honest. I think it should go down to maybe 67, 69, something like that in that area. It was kind of like when the NBA had the shortened season and the strike season. Those games went by quickly. You still got your champion. You had your playoffs. And even if you want to keep the playoffs the way they are with best 4 out of 7 game format, you can keep it as is because you've given the guys a break during the season. Not as many back-to-backs. The travel can be kind of strenuous. So cut it down. Why not? And if I was the NBA, I'd even move my season.
You know, I mean, that's the other thing, too. Almost make it a little later. Do you want it more during the summer? Because here's the thing that's crazy about it, right? So the players will come to training camp, Pelicans players.
Mm-hmm.
Saints have started their season.
Correct.
In September. They will tip off. The Saints will be in their second month of their season.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, when the playoffs come, look at it. It's May. OTAs of the following year would have happened.
Exactly.
If you make it to the second round, like the Pelicans did last year, the NFL draft, free agency, the Super Bowl. I mean, that's a long, long year.
You have to compete with all of that.
Yeah.
So if you're Adam Silver, why don't you think about moving it to
college basketball? Yeah. Doesn't even start until after you start.
Correct. So I mean, I think if I'm the NBA, I move my season until after the NFL Super Bowl. You have the entire calendar from February, mid-February, mm-hmm, all the way until September. All of that is you. Nothing else going on except baseball, and you don't even have the All-Star break is the only thing you'd have to compete with, because baseball's best part of the postseason doesn't kick off until what, October?
That's an interesting part. So you would go from February to September.
February to September.
You and have the playoffs go right into the NFL.
You wrap up your season right before the college NFL football starts to really kick off. It would be, because now you're not competing with college football or the NFL. You have the entire summer. The NBA is an indoor sport, so you don't have to worry about anything.
No, I agree with you.
Why not? Why not move it? And
it
you would have all that revenue to yourself.
It would make a ton of sense. A lot of sense, to be honest with you. And again, what's the number one complaint around here around that time? Oh, well, when football ends, then the arena will start getting packed.
Exactly.
And exactly.
You avoid that now because you have no competition, because especially in New Orleans,
right,
we don't really have a Major League Baseball team. We have the baby cakes, but it's not going to compete with the Pels.
Let's be honest. The Saints are the dominant sport here with the fan base, right? LSU would probably be second,
especially if they were
in the college football playoff this year, so they had a pretty good year, and there's going to be a lot of expectation levels. you're asking a lot to all of a sudden have people say, hey, look, go Pels.
Right.
I mean, we'll follow it. We'll talk about it. But doing that is completely different than being 100% invested in it. If it's after those seasons end, like
oh,
you're
you
saying,
no excuse.
Started in a lot of people always said started after Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, start at the beginning of the year, the calendar year, you know, the first week of January. All-star go ahead and start the season.
All-star break is what, the second week of February?
February.
So I'm like, why not start it when you would start all-star break? Because the Super Bowl, you don't have to compete with that. Yeah. It's over and wrapped up. Now you can start your preseason if you want to start that in January. Mm-hmm. Now you start that, your preseason is competing with the Super Bowl, but you're not worried about that. You're not going to win that fight.
You're not the first person to suggest moving it later in the calendar year. I saw one person say that, and then players were chiming in. Well, when are we going to go on vacation? During the winter?
Dude, you're a millionaire. You can vacation to Puerto Rico wherever, no matter what time of year it is.
That was something that came in.
Oh, by the way, if you vacation in the winter, you avoid hurricane season, which is where you're going anywhere to the islands and somewhere exotic.
Look, like I said, I hear you for sure. Wojnarowski also had this to say about Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson, you know, they have an outstanding chance to keep him, and he has said that he wants to be with the Warriors. The only spot with Thompson that might cause him to look elsewhere is if they don't offer him the full max. If for some reason they tried to get him to take less, you'd probably see him maybe look at the Clippers, look back toward L.A. But I think with his situation, it would be surprising if he doesn't just get the full 5 years.
That said, Screamin' A has been at it. Yesterday, he said he don't know what in the bleep's going on with Klay Thompson. He just looks completely different in the last two games, and even in the series. Right, Brian, have you seen the series?
Yes, I have.
Okay, one quick soundbite, and we'll go to break and bring in Nick Monica, head coach of the Rummel Raiders.
Klay Thompson, I have not spoken to Klay Thompson, in fairness to Klay Thompson. Let me be clear about that. I'm told Klay Thompson isn't happy. His number hasn't been called nearly enough. He's tired of sitting around and getting, quote unquote, this is a quote, the crumbs left behind by other people. But where it gets interesting is that although Golden State would love to keep the three, they anticipate Kevin Durant leaving, which is why even individuals, from what I'm told, even individuals like Pat Riley have spoken to folks within the Warriors organization to say, your priority had better be keeping the Splash Brothers together. Not only have they heard that from Pat Riley, they've heard it from Max Jerry West, they've heard it from others, keeping the Splash Brothers together. Obviously, you know that Kevin Durant is the best player on the team. He's one of the top two players on the planet. But the point is, they anticipate, although they hope otherwise, they anticipate that he may leave.
We'll talk a little bit more about this here, Brian. It's right at the bottom of the hour. Got to hit the break and bring in our next guest. But look, are they as strong? Because I want to talk about, after we speak with Coach Monica here, your thoughts on Steph Curry on that. If Durant leaves, how does that dynamic sort of change with the Warriors here? And then let's not forget, Boogie.
Yeah, Mr. I'll pass up $40 million for $5 million.
What are you talking about? That's your guy.
Yeah, never happened.
Boogie. When are you getting that Boogie jersey?
Never going to happen.
No?
No.
Sports Hangover continues next with Nick Monica, head coach of the Rummel Raiders. Don't go anywhere on ESPN New Orleans.
Subs and try the brisket sub piled high with brisket that smoked 16 hours and sliced to perfection and topped with cheddar cheese and sweet Davy Ray's barbecue sauce. Or try the new Cajun chicken sub full of flavor and only around for a limited time. Firehouse Subs slices their meat daily in-house to provide the freshest quality product. Go to firehousesubs.com or download the Firehouse Subs app and use our online ordering. Give Firehouse Subs and Homa or Thibodeau a call for all of your catering needs. Firehouse Subs wants to wish the Nicholls State baseball team the best of luck this season.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Car guys know not all motor oils are created equal, because when your engine hits 75,000 miles, cheaper motor oils won't do. That's why Valvoline created full synthetic high mileage with MaxLife technology, designed to fight sludge, condition seals, and better protect critical engine components as your engine ages. Keep your high mileage ride driving well into the future. Valvoline, trusted for 150 years. Now at Advanced Auto Parts, buy 5 quarts of Valvoline full synthetic high mileage and a filter for just $33.99. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, my friend's retail store was the victim of IoT password theft.
Yep. Cybercriminals are taking over security cameras, payment systems, and other IoT devices by exploiting vulnerabilities.
What if they target us and our dispersed network?
We're secured with Barracuda. We have advanced firewalls for our sites, enhanced security for our cloud infrastructure, and total email protection.
Such a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
State semifinal playoffs. You can hear it right here on Thursday on ESPN New Orleans, 4:30, top-ranked Catholic, number 4, Rummel. And then at 7:30, it's St. Paul's and Brother Martin, me versus my intern, alma mater. We'll have a little fun with that here as well. We want to help preview these games coming up, so we're talking to all of the head coaches involved, and we'll lead things off with Nick Monica, head coach of your Rummel Raiders. Coach, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Congratulations. Second time in 3 seasons, heading back over to Sulphur.
It is. It's a little bit different makeup as far as our roster breakdown. We're a little bit younger this time, but we're excited about going back to Sulphur.
You know, we spoke with Ken Trahan earlier in the week, and, you know, just not only the athleticism, I guess, from a lot of different players in these 4 teams that are playing. You see a lot of crossover. You got guys that have played football, track, things of that nature, but a lot of youth as well. Would you say that's one of your storylines on your baseball team, the makeup?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, we start 5 sophomores and you know, 2 juniors in the lineup, and then our top 2 arms are also juniors. So we definitely have a lot of youth. You know, we have 4 seniors total on the team. And it looks like it's that way throughout the division. You know, I think St. Paul's, is the only team that's playing with a lot of seniors.
You know, it's interesting when you say, Coach, that you have 5 sophomores. I mean, that's, I got to imagine it's not common, right, to have that kind of that youth be ready to go and kind of be able to take you this deep?
Yeah, no question. You know, 4 of them started last year as freshmen, so they got some experience under their belt last year. You know, and you know, so they were able to grow up a little bit last year during this time. It's becoming more and more common, I find, not just at Rummel, but really throughout the area. You're starting to see more freshmen and sophomores get on the field early.
Coach, this is Brian, and I kind of wanted to kind of maybe take a step back, the series that you just had against Bird. How does that really prepare you guys for what you have now coming up this week?
The what now? I'm sorry.
The last series against your last opponent. How do you take those keys in the victory and kind of apply that to what you're going to see from your opponent this week?
Well, the biggest thing, I think, is just being in those situations. We had some tight moments and had to make some big two-out pitches, and you know, 12 out of the 16 runs that were scored by us in the series all came with 2 outs. So we had some clutch hitting involved. And I think just being in those situations kind of helped us grow up and get a little bit more comfortable with those situations. You know, anytime you go to the state tournament, you know, those moments are going to present themselves. So, you know, hopefully they prepared us for that.
Now, Coach, I kind of want to maybe step outside of just the sport that you coach for a second and kind of maybe ask you, when you're looking at your athletes and you're looking at guys that you want to be a part of your team, do you kind of tend to take guys who've played multiple sports, or do you just want guys that tend to just strictly do baseball? Because I know a lot of times the cross sports can kind of keep one guy away from what you maybe want him to play. So how do you basically field your team and try to pick the right guys to get you to this moment that you're at now?
Yeah, I don't think we go – searching for any particular mold, but you know, we do think, and I guess we have numbers that kind of support this, that, you know, just playing other sports makes the kid a better overall player and overall human being. You know, I know we got quite a few of them that are involved in football, and, you know, playing football, toughness comes with it, and, you know, both mental and physical toughness. So You know, those kind of players always help, and you know, just having kids that get to experience more than one sport and more than one way to do things, and you know, instead of doing the same sport year round, and you know, a lot of times that leads to kids not being as interested and becomes more of a hobby than a competitive sport.
Yeah, it's interesting you say it, because aren't you taking over the football team coming up this fall?
I am.
Okay.
We actually started spring practice yesterday, and so I had to do some double dipping. But you know, I enjoy it, and you know, it's keeping me busy for sure. So, but right now we're all in on baseball, and you know, we're going to try to finish this thing out, and hopefully we get to play through the weekend.
Speaking with Nick Monica, head coach of the Romo Raiders, they'll be playing at 4:30 against Catholic. You know, Coach, it's interesting when we spoke with Ken Trahan yesterday. You know, you mentioned the seedings. So you got 1-4, 3-2. It's incredible. You think the semifinals is the four best teams. You just beat number five. Your reward is the top seed in Catholic.
Yeah, and you know, it looks like the Powerade system worked out this year. And you know, we contribute our four seed to the schedule we played. You know, we went through a little lull at the beginning of district. You know, we lost some games, but we lost to good teams, and we had a pretty impressive pre-district schedule as well that not just prepared us for district play in the postseason, but it got our power ranking to where it is. You know, I think we actually finished third or fourth in our district, and we were still the fourth seed overall. You know, so I think that says something about the strength of schedule that we played.
All right, so tell us a little bit about Catholic, your opponent here.
Catholic's got they're a baseball factory. You know, everybody steps on the field for them is, you know, just a quality baseball player. You can watch it from when they take in and out in pregame and play pitch and catch. They're all seasoned baseball players. You know, kids go there to play baseball, and you know, you can just tell by watching them that it's just a good program. And you know, they're not going to give you anything. You're going to have to earn it. You know, they the top of the lineup, just like everybody's lineup, I guess, is very potent. They have some left-handers at the top of the lineup, and they can really do some damage with those guys. And then they're ultra-aggressive on the bases. You know, it's a mindset that they have built in over there, and you know, hopefully that we can handle the pressure that they try to put on you with their base running game.
You mentioned pressure a little bit. I was just talking about the overall situation there. Well, how do you get a team prepared here? As I mentioned, second time in 3 years, maybe that helps a bit here as well. But it's a little different, right? I mean, obviously, you know, playing well and winning games at Curtis Rooney, but having to make the travel, that's you know, something to kind of focus on, too, the time it takes to get out there. And then, you know, playing in the series the way you guys do, where you win and then you advance to Saturday. So it's a little different than series ball, right?
Yes, no question. The one thing that we're trying to do this time around is just keep it as much as the same routine that we're used to as possible. And some of the things that the state has designed and the way it's set up is tough to do because they want you at certain places at certain times. So you have to adjust to that a little bit. But you know, just trying to get the kids to focus on the game of baseball and not the situation and you know, all the things that come with it. I think that's the biggest challenge as far as trying to get your team prepared for this.
Coach, you don't have a lot of time, as you mentioned, between games. You know, you beat one opponent, before you could blink your eyes, you're on to the next one. So when you're getting prepared for something like that, do you do mostly some self-scouting, or do you kind of just take what you've known about that team in the past, as you kind of rattled off some of them earlier, the attributes that they have? Do you mostly self-scout in that situation, or do you concentrate more on the opponent?
Yeah, so a little bit of both. A little bit of both. You know, obviously after, you know, if you're able to advance from the semifinal game, then – you know, you have to look at what you have left, starting with the pitching, going into that last game. And then from there, I think you start to look at your matchup. And most of the times you get a good chance. That is the one good thing about the day in between. You get a good chance to collect information about who you're going to be playing. And I would think in most cases, with the games being back-to-back, you get a chance to see them firsthand, either before or after your game. So, I think you do have to put a little bit, invest a little bit of time into who you're playing and what they look like. But, you know, the game of baseball usually comes down to can you execute? Can you make pitches? You know, can you come up with a big hit? So at the end of the day, it does come down to your team and doing what they need to do.
Rummel taking on Catholic, 4:30. You can hear that game right here Thursday on ESPN New Orleans. At Rummel Baseball's way to follow over on Twitter. Coach, good luck, and thanks for giving us a little bit of your time this afternoon. I clearly hear that you're busy.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for calling.
You got
absolutely
it, Coach. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
Yep. That's incredible when you think about it. Five sophomores. Just, I mean, and again, it goes to what we've been saying, though, during the week, and even yesterday we talked a little bit about it. You've seen it in football, Brian, at the collegiate level, right? Yeah. Freshmen come in. I mean, again, Clemson's quarterback.
Ready.
I mean, you know, Tua from Alabama, the guy that caught the touchdown pass from Tua was a freshman. I just think you're seeing not even specialization, but you're seeing opportunities to know the sport, to get better at it way earlier than you used mm-hmm. to. You used to get your seasoning playing games.
Correct.
At your destination, at your school. I would argue that before I arrive on campus at Rummel, Brother Martin, Catholic, St. Paul's, LSU, Clemson, Tulane, mm-hmm. I'm getting my seasoning before I step onto
those
places.
You got to be ready day one to go.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no more waiting. You have to be ready. Like, if you're a freshman coming in, there's no more, well, we're going to redshirt him, for, you know, let him sit for a while. No, you want to come in and play
matter
now.
Matter of fact, that kid's going to choose somewhere where he doesn't redshirt.
Correct.
For the most part. I
correct.
Mean, in yeah. football, you have the 7-on-7 camps. I can't say that enough. There's a reason you're seeing these things happen. They're doing drills. They're going out there learning. Mm-hmm. They're getting the coaching. So you got a kid, man, that's 13, 14 years old that is doing stuff they didn't learn
yeah.
until they made varsity.
Correct. A lot
does that make sense?
Now.
I mean,
yeah, no
so, and then when you get to college, you have all these camps.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these offers are going to kids at LSU, Tulane, and Clemson. All these camps they go to. Why do you think there's such a battle between coaches to keep your camp out of my state?
Correct.
Because they know exactly what it means. They're sending their coaching staff there. They see somebody do these quote-unquote camps, and then right there to pull them aside. Hey, how's it going? You got a number for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always a spot for you
but,
here.
But that's what I'm talking about. It's a little different. And I think with baseball, you're playing baseball year-round now.
No question. Travel that's
team,
why I asked the question.
And that's the thing that's different. Yeah. I know when I grew up, it was Legion. It was the yeah. summer league balls. Like, so the best players of Jesswood, maybe some guys, Martin, would play for like Ray Foyle or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Now, each playground has a travel team.
Correct.
So where you used to just go play your playground ball, no, they're playing year-round under the playgrounds in like Jefferson Parish and stuff. So it's my wife thinks I'm kidding. If Carver wants to play high school baseball, he's going to have to start throwing
start
a ball
now.
Here soon.
Yeah, you
got to
start
I mean,
now.
He's got no shot. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Playing park ball ain't going to get him at Brother Martin.
Not at all.
Not even my name. Which, by the way, may not my him. My
I would think that he'd get
it
rejected if they saw it.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in first comprehensive sports medicine program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell, you'll never pay full price for gas again.
Even if my car horn sounds like this?
Sure.
Even if I always blast techno in my car?
Yeah.
Even if I drive for miles with the turn signal on?
Of course, even then. It's time to save 5 cents per gallon or more on every fill, every day with instant gold status. Visit FuelRewards.com to join now and save today. Active gold status required. See FuelRewards.com/gold for details. At participating Shell stations only. Limit 20 gallons.
A two-part conversation with the great Bobby Hurley about his storied career as a player and now as a coach.
I think I had a really unrealistic perspective as a player. So much goes into it, so difficult.
Plus, the top chef in Minneapolis makes a bold claim about his city's culinary scene.
The food, especially in our town, I think is the hottest food destination in America.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right. On time and on budget. Lowe's is here to help by stocking the brands you trust to power through any job. Like Hitachi Power Tools, soon to be known as Metabo HPT. And DeWalt. Stop in now during Hitachi Days and get a 3.5-inch 21-degree framing nailer now for just $169. And stay in charge on the job longer with a 4-pack of DeWalt 20-volt max batteries now just $179. For tools you can trust to get the job done right, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 5/12. See store for details, U.S. only.
Want to know my secret to make a great-looking lawn last even longer?
All it takes is a second feeding of Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. With a simple second feeding, your lush lawn is here to stay. Because a second feeding of Scott's reinvigorates lawns by providing nutrients, which helps prevent browning and withering as the weather warms.
My green grass isn't going anywhere.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food today.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Players in motion. They circle. Durant catches. Top of the arc for three in the tie. No good. Punch out rebound to Durant. Hands to Curry. Deep three with 5 seconds left. Missed that rebound, Paul, and he's fouled with 2.9 seconds left. They got two looks at it from three from their two biggest and best scorers and could not tie the game here in Houston.
Are you kidding me?
That voice should sound familiar doing the play-by-play. Sean Kelly of your New Orleans Pelicans. We're going to have him on, I think, tomorrow to preview Game 5. He just called that one. He's done a couple of other games already in the NBA playoffs as well for ESPN Radio. You heard that here last night. So, great looks there, Brian, at the end. Kevin Durant,
it's a good one.
Missed the shot after the game.
Kevin, were you as surprised as maybe 18,000 other people you missed that last shot?
No, I missed shots before. You got to give them credit. They came out and made shots tonight. You know, they made a lot of threes tonight. I think they're knocking down shots. You know, both teams are playing extremely hard on the defensive side of the ball. But it comes down to who makes more shots.
You and I are going to talk a little bit more about this to start next hour. Steph Curry. He says he's hearing people like you, Brian, criticize his play.
Last 48 hours has been pretty funny, and hearing all the noise and chatter about, you know, how I've been playing in this series, and, you know, I take it all in stride and understand what I'm capable of, doing it within the context of, you know, of how we play as a team, and I know I can play even better, so just trying to stay within my own zone in terms of, you know, what I expect from myself out there on the floor and leaving it all out there and living with the results, because I know, you know, how prepared I am every night, whether it's a night like tonight or game three.
Mm-hmm. See what you're doing?
Yeah.
Last 48 hours, he ain't been able to rest in Houston in that 5-star hotel.
No, because apparently, you know,
having
people
to eat
of my ilk.
His nice meal, knowing that people like you out there criticizing just how clutch he is.
I'd like to know. That's all I'm saying. I need to know what goes on when the calendar hits and all of a sudden playoffs start. Where does Steph Curry go?
So no credit to the Rockets, huh?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. James Harden.
Most teams can't go back at them. Most teams don't have the personnel to, you know, compete with them defensively and then offensively go back at them. So that's all we're doing. Like, we know what's at stake. We know who we're playing against. We're not going to let up. Like, we're going to keep coming at you until the end of the game. Like I said, every possession is going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. We got to get ready for game 5.
See, this is why I hear what you're saying. And mm-hmm. I hear what First Take is saying, you know, who's to blame and the Warriors are. What has Houston done the last 2-3 years? 4 years, really.
Oh, they
three
built to
for
beat
sure.
The Warriors.
Well, right. They've built specifically to attack the Warriors.
That is correct.
Bringing Chris Paul over, DeAnto. Mm-hmm. They have done everything humanly possible to specifically try to beat Golden State in a best of 7.
No question.
CP Meese Hammy doesn't go out on a drive in the lane. They win that series last year.
More likely than not, yes.
Right? Okay. So they're built to them. But you see at the same time how hard it is to do. I mean, you have to play Eric Gordon, Mr. Just Chill himself, who, by the way, I can't wait for your commentary on Cam Jordan's.
Face of the franchise, Cam Jordan.
We'll lead the hour with that, on your thoughts on that. But, I mean, you're seeing Eric Gordon has to go off. PJ Tucker, for crying out loud, had a game of game. Well, PJ Tucker. They went and got their Draymond Green.
No,
he's their Draymond Green.
Everything that Pelicans fans wish Solomon Hill could be.
That's your guy. Don't you have a Solomon Hill jersey?
Not ever. I don't even know who Solomon Hill is after I made that comment. I instantly got amnesia the minute I said his name.
You've tweeted a lot of funny things in the past.
Oh, man.
Your dislike for Solomon Hill has not been hidden.
No, because it's first of all, I think Dell Demps made an idiotic move giving him that contract.
So much money.
Based on what he did for one series in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, just the young veteran model was just, you know what, Dell Demps should be fired for that move alone, and it's a good thing he's gone.
CP, me on the series?
It's fun. It's fun, man. It's a dog fight. It's intense. Every possession matters. I think it brings out the best in you. The series is always going to be the banging, the talking, all that different type of stuff, but, you know, it's fun when you get a chance, especially if you love the hoop. Like Tuck talk about it all the time. Like Tuck always want to stay on KD, but I'd be happy when my man set a screen and I get to switch on him. If you love the hoop, then you want that challenge of trying to stop, you know, some of the best players to ever play.
So you know my timing, right? Jordan definitely knows it right now. Around the time that this game is starting, you know, it's putting down little guy. It's cleaning up dinner. I'm doing the dishes. Dude, I had a pause. Like I couldn't. I loved it because it reminded me of old school NBA.
Yes.
It reminded me of the Jordan days where I liked that every other possession, Chris Paul, not a bum, not a bench guy. Your star players are going down. Yes. I mean, Durant spent time on the deck. Curry's spending time on the deck. Everyone's looking for calls. No one is fouling. PJ Tucker's throwing people. Draymond Green's kicking. I loved it. I loved the atmosphere. And I'm invested. You know, when you see that these two, I like a healthy dislike.
Yes.
It's not hate. There's a respect level between those teams, but they're talking smack. Every play, it's Durant and CPB just jawing at
you. What I
loved it
was seeing Kevin Durant late in the game tell everybody get the hell out the way. Yeah. I'm taking on James Harden.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I don't understand why Steve Kerr didn't allow that to happen sooner. Put KD on Harden.
And he was more active last night towards the end.
Let's see what's going on.
But I enjoyed seeing that. I really honestly did. And look, the whole point that I'm trying to get at is this. There's nothing wrong. Look, I think when you see that team, and it's funny you said, what would social media be like with the Bulls today?
Oh, man.
Like the Dennis Rodman situation.
Oh, man.
You know? I mean, if you had Twitter in the Dennis Rodman Bulls era, I don't know if they win. You'd had everything chronicled.
Yeah.
24/7, everything that Jordan or Pippen would say about it. Because you would have Jordan's style of reporters go up to the ancillary parts. Do you feel you're not being used enough? Are you just the cast members of Jordan? Because it was used. There was a book, right?
Yeah.
Jordan is supporting cast. But it wasn't a constant barrage to those players that had to hear that.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, everybody's ego is 10 times bigger. And, you know, you wonder what it would have been like to cover that team with today's social media.
I actually think if Twitter was around when Michael Jordan played, then there would be no discussion, no debate, ended all right there, that Jordan was the absolute GOAT. This man hit shot after shot. Like the shots that people begged LeBron to take, Jordan was hitting.
There is a video that I retweeted. And it was we had a little fun, and I'll play it here in a second. And we can come back and talk about it. I think it was funny. So it was a local Chicago reporter, because, you know, back then you could just run out on the court right after Jordan hit the shot. And the reporter runs out on the court. But so it's, you know, it would be like Fletcher. It's 2 minutes. I'm going to lead off with it, and I want to hear your Cam Jordan take. But it's great. It would be like their photographer, Channel 6. It's right on the baseline, catches AD, hit the game winner, and then Fletcher runs on the court. Jordan's still celebrating.
Yes.
The reporter grabs Jordan's arm and says, "Yes, Mike, you did it. You did it." It's incredible. But that's just it. I mean, that's as close as I've ever seen like that. You didn't have it like today. Now it'd be a bank of reporters all the way around him and stuff like that. It was so different, man. But yeah, shots like that. I'm going to show you this during the break. We'll come back. Hour 3. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.